Do what you must. He could feel the vibration of his hound growling and the sound welled up inside of him. What I must do is keep you alive. Why? She asked, putting a hand to her hip.
Why? He repeated.
Yeah, why? I've known you for 4 days. Just pretend they never happened.
Impossible.
Why?
She looked desperate to hear his answer, and by Danu, he was going to give it to her. She wanted the truth. She was going to get it.
I understand you wanting to leave me. I certainly don't deserve to have you. I'm not a man. I'm not even a worthy Kushi. If I were, I would not have hid in a cupboard while my parents were slaughtered. I would have taken better care of Madigan. If I'd done those things, Declan and Aiden would still have their family. Intact. Whole.
She blinked, and a tear broke free and ran down her cheek. He looked away, just so he could keep talking.
If I had done what I was supposed to do, Declan wouldn't be sick and addicted to God knows what, standing there unable to fight because he's a shell of the man he's supposed to be.
He's sick?
She blinked up at him in surprise. Cormac didn't answer her question, but kept on going.
Aiden might be away at the university. Everything is shit because of me.
She reached for him, resting her hand against his chest.
Cormac, you don't.
I didn't throw my brothers away, Megan. I left because I was too ashamed to look them in the eye, and I wasn't going to do that until I could say that our family had been avenged. Then you came along.
He cupped her cheek in his hand, and she closed her eyes, leaning into it.
You're not what I expected, Megan. You're completely wrong, and somehow completely right, all at the same time. You've given me hope, Makushla. You're the first taste of something sweet in half a century of nothing but bitterness. I know, after all my failings, I don't deserve any kind of happiness, but if you think I'm going to let that go...
He smiled, remembering her words from before.
Then you're the biggest idiot in the history of mankind.
Scratch that. Your kind.
Mac,
she said, and his name came out as a mere breath.
Can you please kiss me now?
He asked, his voice sounding low and rough in his ears.
Yes.
Their mouths hit, and immediately everything went white hot, burning him up from the inside. Cormac didn't know if this was always the way between fated mates. His father never had gone into that much detail when they'd had the talk. But as much as he craved more of her, a part of him worried he might spontaneously combust. The kiss went wild, sucking, biting, teeth clashing.
More, she said. Please, Cormac, give me more.
Christ, woman, you don't have to beg.
He tore off her clothes. Her hand fumbled at his belt, and she cursed her clumsy fingers until the buckle released. He rewarded her unnecessary efforts by making his pants vanish away. Her mouth dropped open and she whispered,
In 100 years, I will never get used to that.
Well, hopefully you'll get those 100 years, so we'll have to check back on that later.
She rose up on her toes, her body brushing upward against his straining cock, her lips so sweet, her breasts plump against his chest, the hard nipples rubbing against him. Her whole body was so hot in his hands, he barely felt the difference between their temperatures. He moved her against the wall, grinding his erection against her clit, making her whine.
Christ, that sound in his ears, his hound echoing her whine in his chest, their duet almost had him coming right there.
He lifted her, cupping her ass in his hands, spreading her cheeks, his long fingers skimming her private openings. Her hands were at his neck, pulling him in deep, silently asking him for more. Cormac ground against her, angling up, while he pressed one finger deep in her sweet, sweet cunt. She panted against his lips, sucked on one side of his neck, and when he felt her body begin to tremble in his arms, his hound let out a roar. He took his cock in his hand, lining it up with her wet heat, finding her core, he thrust in without further preamble, and...
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Megan's hot walls gripped down on him like a vice, and his whole body shuddered. Her wet mouth was at his neck, and he pulled back his hips to thrust in again.
Heaven.
She groaned, squeezed his hips with her knees, and panted.
Harder, Cormac. Fuck me harder.
The hound lunged in his chest, and Cormac felt himself losing his grip.
No, he thought.
No.
God, she whispered. God, you are the most magnificent creature, and you want me?
I, Anamkara, he said through clenched teeth. I want you, forever.
But just as he made that solemn vow, his control slipped sideways. Cormac jumped back, and Megan slipped down the wall, landing on her ass, her knees wide, her swollen cunt on full display. If Cormac needed a straw to break this camel's back, that was it. He dropped to all fours, panting. His face and teeth elongated, his spine curved, he growled as wiry black hair sprung out all over his body. Megan raised a shaking hand to her mouth, and that was it. He swung his massive head toward the open window and raced for it. He sank onto his hunches, then sprung, sailing through the window and into the air. He landed awkwardly on the ground 20 feet below. It took a second for him to regain his balance, but then he shook his head and ran. Cormac's massive paws tore at the damp ground, the cold air stung his sensitive nose, and the miles quickly grew between himself and that miserable house.
Chapter 23. Megan. Well, look who's come back down to join us, said a deep, already familiar voice. Megan hesitated on the bottom step, then inhaled slowly and finished her descent, entering the demolished sitting room. Aiden, the one who looked most like Cormac, was lying on the couch with a book spread open across his chest. He watched her, the corner of his mouth pulling up in a half-smile. The auburn-haired brother, Declan, was sitting on the floor, against the wall with his knees pulled up. He wasn't wearing his glasses anymore, and the side of his neck was red and scraped. He held the back of his head like he had a serious headache. The coffee table lay in pieces at the center of the room. I don't suppose there's any of that bacon left, she asked tentatively. Declan glanced quickly at his brother, then smiled up at her. You can have my share. That way? Megan leaned her head in the direction where she thought the kitchen must be. The brothers said nothing, so she took that as a yes and went in search of food. She tried not to react when she heard them get up and follow closely behind her. When she arrived at her destination, she took stock of the room. Where the sitting room had some modern updates, at least in the way of furniture, the kitchen still had a wood-burning stove and a hand pump that fed into a ceramic basin housed in a wooden cabinet. The only thing in the kitchen that looked new, or at least newer, was the black and white tiled floor. Aiden leaned one hip against the large oak table, and Declan hoisted himself to sit on top. Megan looked at Aiden, winced when she realized just how closely he resembled his absent brother, then decided to focus on the auburn-haired Cushy. They both looked formidable, tall, muscular, and fierce, even if Declan was noticeably thinner. So where exactly am I? She asked, walking toward the stove and hoping to ease into a halfway normal conversation. Cormac didn't tell you? Declan asked. She shook her head and plucked a piece of room temperature bacon from the cast iron skillet. Near Martin's Landing, Aiden said. Where's that? She asked. Northeastern Minnesota, about 20 miles east of the boundary waters in the town of Ely. Ely? Megan asked. That's a disgusting name for a town. E-L-Y, Aiden said. But yes, rhymes with Ely. We're about 35 miles west of where you and our brother had your little adventure on the North Shore. Megan winced at his choice of words. Little adventure, indeed. Where's Cormac? Declan asked. Don't tell me he's abandoned you already, Aiden asked. He was joking, but at the same time, he wasn't. Megan glanced to the far side of the room, not that there was anything to look at besides a pantry, but because she couldn't look them in the eye. He had a bit of a mishap upstairs. Then she shrugged as if there was nothing more to tell, but apparently she hadn't fooled either of them. They were both looking at her with alarm. We were, you know. Jesus, this was embarrassing. And he, Declan's eyes jerked to Aiden. There was a beat of wide-eyed comprehension, then they both burst out laughing. Megan shoved another piece of bacon in her mouth and talked around it. It's not funny.
Oh, come on, Curly, it's all kinds of funny, Declan said, correcting her and giving her a nickname that she wasn't too sure about. Our big brother is nothing if not the epitome of self-control. If whatever you did was so amazing and made him drop that shield, well, good for you. Good for him, Aiden said, giving her another half-smile. Damn, he made that look sexy. Someday, some poor girl was going to cash in all her chips just to live in a world of his smiles.
Believe me, Declan said, he'll come back for more.
Megan blinked, tore her gaze away from Aiden's smile and focused on what Declan had said. Her eyebrows pulled together in thought. Was that all this was? Sexual attraction and nothing more?
Don't worry, he'll come back because you're a sure thing. Is that what he was saying?
No, he said, don't be thinking that.
What?
He shifted his weight on the table and leaned toward her. Cormac said you were his Onamkara. If that's true, it's more than just sex for him.
Megan felt the back of her neck go prickly hot.
Mind reader, are you?
No, Curly, but your face says even more than your mouth.
Great.
She licked the grease from her fingers, pretending this newest revelation was of no concern. Aiden walked toward the counter and poured her a cup of coffee.
Thanks.
She took a sip. It was possibly the best coffee she'd ever had.
Wow.
So, you've been helping our brother hunt? Aiden asked.
Sort of.
She took another big sip.
I helped, but what I did was more of an accident than anything else.
I doubt that, Aiden said. My foot is still throbbing from when you tagged it. Megan felt a sudden rush of pride. She'd meant to leave a mark, but she also knew her limits when it came to true battle.
No, I'm not being modest. Killing Riley was an accident.
Riley? She nodded. That was his name. By now, the rest of the Black Castle has probably figured out what happened. Cormac says, when he was captured, he overheard Riley on the phone making a report. When they don't hear from him again, they'll know something's up. They'll come looking for Cormac. Both Declan and Aiden's mouths got tight. That's why we need to lie low for a while. But I don't know if I'll ever be able to do anything more for him than what I did yesterday. Branna told me he needed an equal partner, and...
Branna?
Aiden asked, shooting Declan a look.
Puka turns into a rabbit?
Declan asked.
That's the one.
She remembered Cormac telling her that Branna had been here when their parents were killed. She wished now that she hadn't brought her up. She really wished she hadn't brought her up when Aiden suddenly frowned and stormed out of the room like he was late for work.
Declan's eyes were also on Aiden's exit. Then his head swung back to her.
Don't worry about him. And, hey, don't listen to Branna. If Cormac needed an equal partner, he could have taken me with him, or Aiden, or both of us. What Cormac needs is someone to take care of. He's got a serious hero complex, always has. What happened here?
Megan swallowed and her throat got tight. They were standing in the kitchen, the very place where his parents went down. Her gaze inadvertently drifted to the built-in cupboard she'd passed in the hall.
Well, it was a serious blow to all of us, but Cormac's ego, he's on a mission to avenge our family. He means to collect a life for every life we lost.
Megan nodded soberly. I get it. And she did understand. Now. Finally. How stupid could she get? She thought Cormac had only been upset about what happened at the rental office for the obvious reasons.
Their lives had been in danger. They'd escaped only by a miracle. Now a man was dead. True, he was the enemy, but a life was a life. It hadn't occurred to her that by acting on impulse and killing Riley, she'd stolen something from Cormac. He'd only asked her to help him find the Black Castle. He probably expected that he'd be the one to take him out. Cormac would have liked for me to leave the killing part to him, she said, solidifying the truth in her own mind. Declan gave her a slow blink of confirmation. You stepped in two piles of shit yesterday, Curly. By taking his kill, he caused a setback in his mission, and then his ego took another hit when his Anamkara had to rescue him. But he's not mad at you. He rarely gets mad at anyone but himself. That's just Cormac's way. What's my way? Megan jerked at the sound of Cormac's voice, and she twisted her body toward the kitchen entrance. Cormac came up behind her, grabbed the last piece of bacon from the pan, and shoved it in his mouth. Then he put his arm around her shoulder, as if 30 minutes ago he hadn't erupted into a giant dog and run away. You okay? She asked. That's my line, he said, kissing her temple. Then he lifted her wrist, put his nose there, and inhaled deeply. Me? I'm fine. I'm not the one who leapt headfirst out a second-story window. She glanced over at Declan for support, but he was looking at his shoes, fighting a grin. Laugh it up, Cormac said, seeing it too. You just wait until you find yours. Declan's head jerked up, and his expression went dark. Fuck off, he growled. Then he marched out of the room as quickly as Aiden had before. When he was gone, Megan turned to Cormac and looked up at his handsome face. I thought it was just you, but I'm getting the idea that overall, the Kushi are a moody bunch. We run a little hot. Comes with the territory being a hellhound. Oh, is that why? She asked, combing her fingers into his hair. She wasn't sure, but she thought he might look even sexier after a recent transformation. Mostly, but having you around hasn't helped much. Wait. Megan twisted her body around to look in the direction both Declan and Aiden had gone. Did I do something to make your brothers both storm out of here? Both? Aiden took off a couple minutes ago looking completely pissed off. Cormac shrugged, then he gave her a smile that warmed her from the inside out. Maybe they're jealous that I've found my person, and they haven't. Your person? She asked, her eyebrows raising. That's a lot nicer than mate. Cormac crossed his arms. What's wrong with mate? Megan rolled her eyes. It sounds so animalistic. In case you haven't noticed, I'm animalistic. I noticed, but I'm not. Cormac laughed out loud. What's so funny? Are you sure about that? He tightened his arms around her. Maybe you didn't see the same person upstairs that I did. Is that going to happen to you every time? No, he said, letting her go. It didn't happen last night, right? But I can't promise it will never happen. Megan let his answer sink in. If it hadn't happened the first time they'd been together, what had she done differently this morning? Had it been her fault? If it'll help, I'll try not to get too carried away next time. Cormac shook his head and put both hands on Megan's shoulders. Please, promise me that you won't try not to do that. A beat passed, and she scrunched up her nose at him. That's a double negative. He smiled softly. Just be you. She exhaled. I can do that. Chapter 24, Megan, 1 week later. Megan made herself a grilled cheese sandwich, put it on a plate, and brought it into the repaired sitting room to watch a taped episode of The Great British Bake Off. She stopped before sitting on the couch and instead stared out the window that faced the front yard. Something had caught her eye. A movement in the bushes? A sudden change in the shape of a shadow? The last several days had been spent getting to know her new family. She'd trounced them in an all-day Yahtzee tournament, and the brothers had taught her how to play darts. Aiden declared her a natural, said he'd never seen truer aim, and even wondered aloud if she wasn't half Lenanshi, but rather descended from some ancient called Twerba Trogmar, the axe thrower. Megan was pretty sure he'd been kidding. The rest of the time she'd spent trying to master the wood-burning stove so she could make the things she saw in the cooking shows, and learning everything there was to know about the Shi history and tradition. Some of what she read she already knew from experience, like how the Lenanshi work through dreams, and how they had a penchant for wearing black because, as Cormac explained, they're still in mourning for Ireland. She also learned that there were other creatures not descended from Danu, the mother goddess and creator of the Shi, but still a very real part of their world. For example, Nukulavis and Pukas, like Branna. Other parts of what she learned were new, like how the Kushi had originally been in servitude to the rest of the Shi and used as guard dogs because of their natural instincts to protect. But in recent years, recent meaning centuries ago rather than millennia, the Kushi had staged a liberation movement that leveled the playing field. Some of the Shi apparently still looked at them as second-class citizens, but most of the younger generation, those less than 100 years old, weren't as prejudiced. Megan couldn't imagine how anyone could see Cormac and his brothers as anything less than amazing. Megan absorbed as much of this as she could under Cormac's, and often Aiden's, daily tutelage, but what she lived for were the nights. Last night, Cormac had made love to her for the first time. It had been so different than the times before, less urgent and powerful, but rather marked by long, slow glides, as he stared into her eyes with such intensity that it drew tears from both of them. Then this morning, she'd woken with their arms and legs tangled together. She'd basked in the warmth of his hard body and breathed in the spicy scent of his skin until they were both awakened by the smell of sausages, potatoes, and onion. She'd enjoyed a leisurely breakfast with Cormac and Aiden. Declan was sleeping in, as per usual, and laughed as they told stories about all the trouble they got into as children, their voices going softer but still happy when they spoke of their youngest brother, Madigan. It was now midday. Megan shifted her sandwich plate from one hand to the other and moved closer to the window, still searching the strange shadows along the hedgerow by the gate. Eventually, she realized the source when a black rabbit slowly, cautiously emerged and took a few hesitant hops toward the house. Megan sighed. Yes, it had been a good first week in her new life, but apparently that was about to end. Branna had come for a visit. Remembering the first time they'd met, Megan felt the need to make a statement that this was her family's home, and that this time, Branna was the outsider. So, still holding her plate, she opened the front door and stepped outside onto the stone walkway to greet her like any good hostess and lady of the house. She expected Branna to immediately transform into someone who could talk, though she knew not to look forward to anything she had to say. But Branna didn't shift. "All right, then," Megan said, sounding impatient and less like a hostess. "Let's have it." Still nothing. Instead of shifting, the rabbit froze, as if terrified. It made itself as small as it could and laid its ears back flat, before suddenly darting away to take safer cover under the hedge. "Well, how about that?" Megan murmured to herself. Apparently, even in Cormac's world, sometimes a rabbit was only a rabbit. Cormac called out for her from inside the house, and she was just about to answer him when she heard the ominous rumble of a low and hostile growl. Megan's breath caught in her throat, and she slowly turned to face the threat, doing her best not to make any sudden movement. At the front gate, not 20 feet from her, was the reason for the rabbit's quick escape. It was a large hound, gray, bristled with blazing red eyes. Its black lips were curled back, and saliva dripped from its long canine teeth. Megan knew it was Kushi. She also knew it was not a McConnell. Instinctively, she put her hand out and low. "Stay." The dog growled in response and stalked forward. "Stay," she said again, drawing out the word, as if it was merely a golden retriever in obedient school. The porch was no more than 5 feet behind her. If she was fast enough, she could run up the steps and through the front door. The hound fell back on its haunches, readying to spring. Shit! Megan whirled, but no sooner had she turned her back than a heavy weight hit her from behind. She landed flat on her belly on the flat stones. The sandwich plate crashed to the walkway and broke into three large shards. Her hand darted out for one of the jagged chunks. Then she flipped over just as the beast pounced, landing on her chest. She swiped at its throat and made contact. The hound snarled, then closed its mouth over her neck.
Nolan!
Cormac shouted from the doorway.
Nolan, stop!
The Cushy's head jerked up, releasing her throat, but not getting off her chest. Its weight pressed down on her lungs, and she gasped for breath while struggling to roll away.
Let her go!
Cormac yelled, but Megan's head was already beginning to feel light and floaty from the lack of oxygen, and it made her feel like she was hearing his voice from underwater. She tried to drag in air, but her lungs would not inflate. Her vision went spotty, and then suddenly the beast was flying. Megan sucked in a lungful of air and crab-walked backwards until her hands at the first step of the porch. In the yard, two large hounds were on their hind legs, snarling, biting, and clashing their teeth. There was a great howling noise and a yelp before they finally fell apart. Then, in the time it took Megan to blink, two men stood facing each other on the grass, both of them scowling. Cormac's hand was bleeding. The other man was gray-haired but extremely fit and wearing a denim shirt and lighter jeans. She felt gratified to see the deep scratch down his neck and hoped that it was she who'd done it. Realizing she was still clutching the broken piece of plate, she dropped it onto the step and pushed herself to her feet. She tried not to tremble as Cormac reached out for her, and she forced a sense of calm into her posture as she walked to his side.
Megan, Cormac said unhappily, this is our old friend, Nolan Cassidy.
Cormac? There was a lot built into the man's simple demand for an explanation.
Nolan, this is Megan Walsh, halfling, my mate.
There was a beat of silence as Nolan let that sink in. Then he reluctantly bowed his head.
My apologies, lass.
No harm done, she said. But she didn't think either of them believed her, especially since Cormac tightened his hold on her hand.
To what do we owe the pleasure of your visit?
Cormac asked, the sarcasm not lost on any of them.
I suppose you'd be owing the Black Castle for that pleasure,
Nolan said, matching Cormac tone for tone, and Cormac's whole body went rigid. Nolan stepped forward and reached into the back pocket of his jeans. He pulled out a folded paper, unfolded it, and handed it to Cormac. At the top was the line, Have you seen this man? Below it was a poorly sketched picture of Cormac. Megan wouldn't have even known it was him, except for the words below it. Cormac McConnell, 6'2", 200 pounds. Dark brown hair, maybe bearded. Maybe traveling with a woman. Dangerous. Do not approach. Below that, there was a phone number. Below that were the hated symbols tattooed on her own back.
We've destroyed the rest of the posters, at least those we could find, but they were plastered all over Grand Marais, Lutzen, Toft, even as far south as Two Harbors.
They're looking for you, mate. You best stay put.
Thanks for the warning,
Cormac said, putting his arm around Megan's shoulders.
Truly.
Nolan's gaze swung to Megan.
I'd heard rumors. I hadn't believed them.
Believe it, Cormac said, drawing her even closer.
And you can tell anyone else who doubts it.
Megan felt her whole body warm, and not just from Cormac's proximity. A scream of pain escaped the house, and they all turned to look.
What's that?
Megan whispered.
Declan,
Cormac said. Then, turning to Nolan,
Again, I appreciate the warning. We'll be careful.
Nolan bowed his head, then took two steps backwards before disappearing behind the hedge. Cormac grabbed Megan's hand and towed her up the porch steps and into the house. Together, they raced up the stairs, then turned left down the longer hallway to Declan's room. Another scream escaped from behind his door as they approached. Aiden was standing just outside, and he put his hand out to stop them from entering. He had his phone to his ear.
Doc, he said, it's Aiden McConnell. I know she's scheduled for tomorrow, but we need her today.
Megan and Cormac waited to hear whatever response Aiden was getting. Aiden kept his eyes locked on Cormac's while he listened.
Thank you. Aye. Thank you again.
Aiden said. Then he hung up. Aiden dragged Cormac and Megan away from Declan's door. Cormac protested.
Let me see him.
No, he doesn't want anyone to see him when he's like this.
What's wrong?
Cormac asked, trying to push around Aiden and get to the door.
He was fine last night.
Aiden caught him by the arm and jerked him back. His nurse is supposed to come with his injection tomorrow, but the pain came early this month. Come with me. He led them toward the window at the end of the hall that faced the front yard. Below them, coming up the walkway, was a red-headed woman in baby blue scrubs. She stopped to pick up some of the broken plate, then disappeared from view under the porch roof.
His nurse?
Cormac asked. Aiden nodded. Rowan McNeely. She comes over from Ely. Cormac murmured to himself.
She sure doesn't waste time.
Aiden almost smiled. Shouldn't we? Thinking they should go down and greet her when she entered the house. No, Aiden said. Stay here. They all turned from the window and watched as Rowan ran up the stairs, carrying a small leather kit. She didn't even glance at them as she hustled down the hall to Declan's room and went inside.
But,
Megan asked, how are we supposed to help him if we don't know what's wrong?
I know what's wrong, Aiden said.
That's not what I meant. We need to stay out of the way for the sake of Declan's pride. Another howl of pain came from down the hall and rattled the walls. Cormac's face went white as rice.
What is he sick with?
Megan asked. It had been impossible to miss Declan's thinner frame and the yellow tinge of his skin, but she hadn't wanted to ask, and Cormac hadn't offered any information. By the look on his face now, Megan realized that Cormac hadn't been holding out on her. He was as much in the dark as she. He started smoking salvia shortly after her parents died.
I've heard of that, Megan said.
It had been showing up at parties in Chicago before she left. Aiden nodded.
Its effects on the Shi aren't well understood yet.
Another howl of pain had them all turning their heads.
He told me he was recovering. Are you saying he's still using?
Cormac asked.
No,
Aiden said. I had it all pulled from our back garden as soon as I learned about it. He's rarely left the grounds in the last few decades. Rowan McNeely emerged from Declan's room and walked toward them. She gave Cormac and Megan a curious glance. Then she looked to Aiden and leaned her head toward the stairs, indicating he should follow her. When Cormac tried to follow too, Megan grabbed his hand to stop him. They watched from the window as Rowan and Aiden spoke outside on the front lawn. When Aiden returned, his face was grim.
She said Declan needs to start eating better and he needs more fresh air. Oxygenation, she called it. She also thinks his mental health would improve if he got out and was around more people.
Cormac nodded.
Then I think it's time for us all to leave the house.
Chapter 25. Megan. It was nearly dinner time. Megan, Cormac, and Aiden were sitting in the kitchen when Declan finally shuffled downstairs, looking exhausted even though he'd been in bed since the night before. Cormac took one look at him and then stood up, slapped a hand over his belly, and announced that he was starving. Aiden followed him up. Megan rose more hesitantly. The three of them had planned it all out. As soon as Declan came down, they were going to take him to Ely for fresh air and a big dinner out on the little town. For the sake of Declan's pride, they were going to blame the evening's plan on Megan's totally off-the-cuff comment from the day before about having cabin fever. Declan wouldn't want them to make a fuss over him, but they figured he'd be totally down for fussing over her. The whole thing made her nervous. She understood that Declan's nurse wanted him to get more fresh air, but they could just go outside on the grounds for a walk. If they wanted a big dinner, she was happy to cook. They could scrape off the burned bits.
What about Nolan?
She'd asked when Cormac came up with the plan. Nolan said they're not just looking for us in Grand Marais. They've widened their search. Don't you think this is unnecessarily risky?
We'll be careful, Aiden had assured her.
There were still a couple hours of daylight left. Megan didn't think three gorgeous men walking through town was the epitome of inconspicuousness. Besides, the Shi to Padraig ratio swings in our favor in Ely, and by now, most of our kind knows Cormac has returned, so he's not news anymore.
People know we're here?
Didn't that defeat the whole purpose of coming? Only the right people. I've been checking with the local guards. No strangers have come around asking questions. That's what Cormac was worried about.
Well, she'd known that, but
if there's any trouble, we'll likely outnumber them.
Megan had just resigned herself to their plan when Declan arrived in the kitchen, and the three of them rose from their seats at the table.
Megan wants to go to town, Cormac said.
She has cabin fever.
Declan's eyes shifted across each of their faces suspiciously.
I thought you wanted to lie low.
Yep. Sharp as a tack, he was totally onto them. When they didn't answer, Declan pressed.
And I thought Megan needed time to clear her head.
Aiden laughed.
Seriously, if her head gets any clearer, it's really not going to be fun throwing darts with her. We won't stand a chance.
Megan had to admit, Aiden's acting was pretty convincing.
We've waited long enough, Cormac said, and I'm done with hiding. We only came here in the first place because the Pooka thought it was the safest plan.
Megan noticed Aiden's scowl at the mention of Brana. She didn't blame him. She hadn't warmed to the shapeshifter much herself.
Really, brother? Declan asked. That was the only reason?
You don't flatter us much, do you? A muscle jumped in Cormac's jaw.
Let's leave the past in the past. We're all hungry. Megan's head is clear. It's as safe as it's ever going to be, so now I'm taking her on a real date.
With your brothers, Declan added with a snort.
Yep, totally onto them.
With my brothers, Cormac said, undaunted.
Now let's go.
Whatever,
Declan said with a huff.
We should go somewhere nice,
Aiden added as his typical dark Levi's and tucked Henley gave way to black pants and a presented button shirt with a thin silver stripe. Of the three of them, Aiden always seemed to pay the most attention to detail.
Megan shifted uncomfortably. She didn't have anything nice in her suitcase. In fact, she didn't have much of anything. She'd had to do laundry more than once since she'd arrived. By hand, mind you. Apparently there was no need for a washer and dryer when Cushy clothing was all a figment of the imagination.
I don't have anything dressy in my suitcase.
Declan and Aiden gave her a slow blink. Aiden was the first to speak.
Sorry, Megan, I was thinking you'd just glamour something. Sometimes we forget you're not Cushy.
Megan felt her face heat. She was both flattered by their forgetfulness and self-conscious about the reminder that she wasn't like them at all. Even being a halfling hadn't brought much in the way of special gifts.
No matter,
Cormac said, turning her away from his brothers and into his arms. You look great the way you are, but now that we're going out, you can go shopping.
She opened her mouth to protest. She didn't have any money.
My treat, he said, and he planted a warm kiss on her mouth. It was enough to convince her of anything.
Megan stood in the full-length mirror and smoothed her hands over her stomach. Then she made a half-turn to check out her ass. Behind her, Declan gave a low, appreciative whistle. Cormac backhanded him across the stomach, and Aiden chuckled.
She had to admit, she didn't look too bad.
20 minutes earlier, they'd arrived in downtown Ely, which wasn't more than one main street surrounded by houses. No surprise, it didn't have much in the way of clothing stores, unless you were looking for camouflage or flame-orange hunting gear, hiking boots, or tall rubber waders.
There are some girls,
Aiden said, pointing toward two teenagers on the sidewalk outside a cafe just ahead. They were both dressed in knee-length skirts with thick tights. Megan couldn't tell what they wore on top, but she bet it was nice because they had designer coats.
I'll ask them where they shop. Hey!
He yelled. The girls turned to look, first at Aiden, who was jogging up to them, then toward Declan, Cormac, and finally Megan, who were following behind at a slower pace.
We're looking for women's clothes,
Aiden called out. The girls stared at him for a second, then burst out laughing.
Very funny, he said, and as he got closer, and more to the point, the girls got a good look at him. They sobered up quickly.
One of the girls' critical gaze swung to Megan, taking in her worn-out jeans and nubby sweater ensemble.
Cormac leaned in and whispered, "They're Danishi."
Megan looked up at him in puzzlement. These girls seemed too young to have been born when Cormac had last been in town.
Do you know them?
No, remember what I told you about the eyes? He asked, glancing at the girl who was speaking with Aiden.
They're lavender. Sure sign.
Megan nodded, remembering the two dead she'd seen. Cormac had said they were Dana. It made her sick to think of anyone killing the two young girls who stood in front of her. By that time, she, Cormac, and Declan had caught up to Aiden and the girls, one of whom was mid-sentence. "So in that case," she said, giving Aiden a flirtatious smile, "try Sissy's Closet. It's the small boutique behind the tattoo parlor." Which was where Megan was now, checking out her ass in front of a full-length mirror. The outfit was a bit OTT. A knee-length black leather skirt with a slit to mid-thigh, lace-up boots, and a black vintage Jimi Hendrix tank over a long-sleeved white cotton t-shirt.
"Now she looks like a Lennon, she," Declan said, expressing approval.
Megan felt her belly twist. Was that what this was about? Were they all uncomfortable with her looking so much less like her desirable half? Was Cormac's suggestion that she go shopping just so he could pretend she was whole, even if that meant dressing up like one of those life-sucking spiders? She turned her eyes on him, questioning, but he misunderstood.
"I told you, Makusla, there are plenty of our kind around, and there's been no sign of strangers, so there's no bigger target on your back than there was before."
He sounded almost disappointed about there having been no sign of trouble. But could she blame him? He was a hunter, and for over a week he'd suppressed that need to give her time to adjust.
"Now," he said, swinging his head toward his brothers. "Ready?"
Megan turned, and both Declan's and Aiden's eyes jumped from her ass to her face. Megan raised her eyebrows at Declan, and he gave her a smirk. It looked like someone was feeling better. A low growl rumbled up from Cormac's chest.
"I'll thank you both to quit ogling my mate."
"Who's ogling?" Aiden asked, eyes wide and hands raised halfway in mock surrender.
"Come on,"
Megan said. "I can hear Declan's stomach growling from here." The restaurant wasn't five-star, but it was a nice steakhouse with comfortable, upholstered booths and votive candles on every table. The bar at the far end was lacquered and shiny, with a mirror that went the whole length of the wall and made the place seem twice as big as it was. The brothers threw back an obscene amount of whiskey with their dinner, but it didn't seem to affect them at all. Megan only had a Diet Coke, but she was giggling like she'd been keeping up with them all night. Declan had just finished telling an off-color joke about a Nuklavi and a French jockey. She'd noticed the interested stares from about half the people in the restaurant. The she half, she assumed. They were obviously curious about their mixed party, she and Padraig. And once Declan barked out to someone, "Take a picture, it'll last longer." But for the most part, it had been an enjoyable and fairly normal kind of evening.
"See?" Cormac said, leaning closer and knocking her shoulder. "I told you it would be fine."
Megan smiled as his thumb lazily stroked along her thigh.
She could get used to this.
Scratch that, she was used to this. This was her new normal. And God, it felt good. She looked at Declan and found him staring across the room, his face expressionless. She followed his gaze to a table of three women, or more like, based on what she'd learned about she fashion sense, three Dena she. They were all dressed conservatively, one of them even in a prim sweater set. The gorgeous redhead among them was practically regal. She wore a pair of wide-leg trousers and tailored silk blouse with hundreds of tiny pleats across her chest.
"Friends of yours, Dee?" Megan asked.
Aiden and Cormac looked across the room to see whom she was talking about. Her question pulled Declan out of his stupor, and he jerked his eyes toward her.
"Huh? What? Oh."
He glanced back at the women's table, and this time, Megan noticed that the redhead in the silk blouse met his gaze. Declan finished off his whiskey in one gulp and set the glass down hard on the table.
"Not exactly a friend. Why?"
"Oh, wow," Aiden said. "I almost didn't recognize her without her scrubs. Now that you're feeling better, you could invite Rowan over to meet our future sister-in-law." Megan was, unfortunately, mid-swallow. She tried to hold it back, but Aiden's comment had her spraying pop all over the table.
"Jesus, Curly, what's wrong?"
Aiden asked. She wiped the back of her hand over her mouth and began piling paper napkins on the mess.
"What did you say?"
"I didn't recognize." She shook her head, feeling her face heat.
"No, after that."
"What do you mean?" Aiden asked. "You don't want to meet Declan's nurse?" Megan slapped her hand down on the table. I'm talking about you thinking she should meet your future sister-in-law. All three brothers exchanged a look. Aiden drew his eyebrows together and said, What's wrong with that? Megan glanced at Cormac, and his face was hard and unhappy. I've known you for like, I don't know, 11 days. Yes, it felt longer, but come on, 11 days. You're my Anankara. Yeah, I get that. Or more like, I'm starting to understand that, but marriage? Are you insane? Maybe we should go home, Declan said, and it sounded like he had his own reasons for wanting to leave. You two can talk this out in private. You don't want to marry me? Cormac asked, ignoring his brother. People don't get married after 11 days, not unless they're on a weird reality show or something. Cormac, you don't know anything about me, and don't feed me that line about how I'm a good artist and terrible at making fire. I'm being serious. So am I, and I know a hell of a lot more about you than that. I also know you're brave, smart, independent, stubborn, and terrible at following directions. I know you seem to stumble into trouble, but you don't expect others to get you out of it. And you've got no problem accepting help when it comes your way. And she's a dart-throwing savant, Declan said. Don't forget that. Cormac shot him an irritated look. Not to mention, you're so beautiful it hurts my eyes to look at you. Megan felt the tears coming, and there was nothing she could do to stop them. She'd got used to the idea of being his Anamkara, primarily because Cormac was so confident about it being the truth, and because he said there was no choice in the matter anyway. But marriage? That was a different thing altogether. Cormac had centuries of life yet to live, hopefully, and she was half as she shy of being able to share that life with him. He deserved a whole life full of love and attention, not just the half-life she could offer. Let me just... Megan slid her legs to the side of the booth. I need to go splash some water on my face. She got up, feeling all three brothers' eyes on her back, and wove her way through the tables toward the short hallway that led to the bathrooms. Of course there was a line for the ladies' room, but some fresh air would do just as well. She hit the back exit and stepped out into the crisp night air just as a few icy raindrops started to fall. She wrapped her arms around herself to conserve heat and inhaled deeply. Then she let it out with a whoosh. A woman in her late 50s was standing in the dark alley, illuminated only by a single dim light mounted on the back of the building. She was wearing a cornflower blue raincoat, dark blue jeans, and sensible shoes, and she was carrying a stack of papers in her arms. When her eyes locked on Megan, they went wide with a shock. Megan's hand shook as she raised it to her chest. Aunt Darlene? The surprise quickly left her aunt's face, and her expression went stony. Are you alone? Aren't I always? Megan returned. It took everything in her not to look toward the restaurant and give Cormac and his brothers away. The random raindrops picked up their pace. Her aunt glanced to the side as if she was trying to figure out what to say. How did you find me? Megan asked. A slow smile pulled at her aunt's lips, and she turned to face her. Tracking device in your phone. You sure do get around. St. Louis, Minneapolis, Kansas City, Iowa, the North Shore. Megan felt a chill go through her. Did this mean they knew where Cormac and his brothers lived? Had she led the enemy straight to them? Her aunt's face turned cool and calculating when Megan didn't act surprised. So, I take it you know why we're here. Megan was unable to form the words, but... Oh yes, she knew. She knew what vile things her aunt, uncle, and the rest of the Black Castle were capable of. How much do you know? Her aunt asked, eyes narrowing. Megan's mind was filled with the memories of two mutilated Danishi and the image of Cormac chained to a chair. She inhaled deeply, just as it started to rain. I know what you and people like you have done. I know you killed my mother. I know you're sick, twisted, and evil. Her aunt's mouth puckered as if she'd tasted something sour. Excuse me if I don't put too much stock in the opinion of an unnatural, homeless halfling. Now where is it? Where's what? The beast that killed Brother O'Connor. Megan lifted her chin in defiance. I don't know what you're talking about.
You were tracked to Grand Marais where you were spotted with a hound. Don't lie to me.
Megan felt the tears coming. They were tears of rage, but she used them to her advantage.
He's gone. He left me. Probably in Canada by now, because you said yourself, Auntie, not even he wanted an unnatural, powerless, clueless halfling.
Her aunt studied her face, as if looking for the truth. Megan's heart clenched with fear. She hoped it read as grief. After a moment, her aunt glanced away and sighed in defeat.
That's a setback for the team.
Then her gaze returned to Megan.
But at least I won't have to explain to you the rest.
No, there's something else I want to know.
And what's that?
Why you took me. Why you wanted me in the first place. Why you kept me all those years.
Her aunt gave her head a shake, as if the question was stupid. We learned of your lineage. We had no experience with halflings, and we needed to know what you were capable of, and whether we needed to add your kind to our priority list. Also, if you did have skills, whether your half status mitigated their power, and whether we could manage and control them for our own use.
Megan's body remained rigid.
You wanted to know if I could be useful to you, or if the 13 years I spent in your home were nothing but a disappointing experiment.
Exactly. Her aunt tipped her head to the side and scrutinized her.
Are you saying that you do have special skills?
Megan spoke through gritted teeth.
Not that I know of.
Her aunt sighed with apparent disappointment.
I see. Well, you know what I have to do now.
Megan kept her eyes on her aunt as a grim presence slowly closed around her. She didn't see them, or how many, but there was no mistaking it. She was surrounded.
Chapter 26. Cormac. Cormac finished his whiskey, never taking his eyes off the hallway.
It's only been a couple minutes, Aiden teased.
Seriously, I'm in no hurry to find my own Adam Cara if it'll make me as skittish as you. Declan raised his finger at the waitress to signify they wanted their check.
It's been more than a couple minutes, Cormac groused.
It had been at least five, though it felt like an hour. Outside, the rain poured down, and when someone opened the front door, they brought with it a cold chill that ran swiftly through Cormac's veins.
Oh, shit, Declan whispered.
Cormac's gaze slid to his brother, and he watched Declan's face go pale before his body slumped toward the table.
Fuck, Cormac murmured. Are you feeling sick again?
Declan raised his head an inch and shook it, breathing the words.
Banshee. 3 o'clock.
Aiden's head jerked around and Cormac turned to look. Sure enough, there she was, a woman with a child's face, but with long, snow-white hair leaning against the bar. In fact, if Cormac had been paying better attention, he probably wouldn't have had to look to know she was there. The she patrons, who made up at least half the tables, had gone entirely still. No one dared move.
Is it the same one? Aiden whispered.
Cormac knew what he meant. There was a lot he remembered from that terrible night. The grisly sounds too loathsome to mention and the pools of blood staining the kitchen floor, these sensory images were burned forever on his brain. But whether this was the same banshee who'd sat on his windowsill and heralded their parents' deaths, he couldn't say. Did it really matter?
She's here for one of us, Declan said. I know it.
Don't overreact, Cormac said.
Just stay still.
Don't overreact? Aiden asked, sounding incredulous.
I saw one just a few days ago. I jumped to conclusions and nearly killed Megan in the process of getting her out of there. Just hold still. There are a lot of people here. She could be here for anyone.
But despite his forced calm, Cormac couldn't help glancing toward the bathrooms.
What was taking Megan so long?
Had Aiden's quip about marriage really been so awful? Had his own comments freaked her out?
Fuck. Had she slipped out the bathroom window like he was some horrible first date?
No, he decided. She wouldn't do that. His eyes flicked toward the hallway again.
Everyone's leaving,
Declan said, as one by one the sound of chairs slowly scraping backward filled Cormac's ears.
We should go too, Aidan said. We need to wait for Megan, Cormac reminded them. Then we exit through the back, Declan said. Grab her on our way out.
There was no need to say anything more. They rose as a single unit and strode for the back hall without glancing toward the bar. Megan wasn't in the hallway, so Cormac pushed open the door to the ladies' room, just an inch, and called out,
Megan!
A Padraig jerked the door open the rest of the way and gave Cormac a hard look.
We're waiting for someone, he explained.
There's no one else in there,
she said, slipping past him and then past his brothers.
That can't be right,
Aidan said, pushing the door all the way open and looking under the stalls.
Megan?
She's not here, Cormac said, his earlier doubts pummeling him.
She wouldn't leave, would she? Declan asked. Not by herself.
Cormac strode for the back door and hit his palms flat against it, throwing it open. There was no one in the alley.
What's that?
Aidan asked. Cormac looked to where he pointed. It was a piece of paper on the ground, so soaked with rain it had gone nearly transparent. The sense of déjà vu nearly crippled him as he bent to pick it up. At the bottom of the paper were the hateful symbols, the bright green shamrock crossed by a sword. But this time, unlike 55 years ago, he could read the words as well. At the top, in all caps, was the question, Have you seen this man? It was the same poster Nolan had found in Grand Marais and all along the North Shore, and now the Black Castle had come west to Ely.
Oh, shit,
Aidan said, and he smacked the back of his hand against Cormac's arm. Cormac looked down the alley and saw the same flyer mounted on every light pole and every flat surface, as far as his eye could see.
They're here, Declan said. And they've been busy,
Aidan added.
Cormac, Declan asked. Is that?
Cormac looked and saw a familiar cell phone lying at the base of the wall.
Megan,
was all he could think to say. Then he lifted his nose toward the sky and inhaled. He could still smell her.
She was there. Right there. But then, not there at all.
Her scent filled his senses, right to the marrow of his bone. But when he took a few steps in any direction, her scent weakened. It was as if she'd exited the bar and been sucked up by the earth. But he knew that wasn't right.
They'd taken her.
He should have listened when she said it was still too dangerous, but he'd wanted to get Declan out while proving to Megan she was among friends and that she was one of them. He knew he'd get to this point. First his parents, then Madigan, now Megan. Being with him always brought others to their doom. He should have trusted his instinct when they saw the Banshee, but no. He thought he'd turned some kind of corner. That his shitty bad luck had somehow improved just having Megan in his life. What a pile of crap it all was. It almost made him glad his father wasn't here to witness this shame.
Snap out of it,
Aidan said.
Fuck you,
Cormac barked.
We'll find her,
Declan assured him. But that was just another pile of crap.
Don't bullshit me,
Cormac said, low and menacing. You have no more idea where to start than I do. His brothers had no response, and the silence made Cormac's lip curl.
We should go home, Aidan said. Get supplies, then head out.
Megan's scent was still lingering in the spot where they stood, but thinning by the second the harder it rained. Cormac didn't have a better idea, especially with no trail to trace. Just then, the back door of the restaurant opened and Declan's red-headed nurse stepped out, looking panicked.
Declan,
she said on an exhale of relief.
Are you all right?
Declan gave his brothers a quick glance of discomfort, then answered curtly.
Fine.
She seemed oblivious to the tension in the alleyway, and Cormac balled his hands into fists. She took a step closer to Declan and raised her hand, but didn't touch him.
I looked away, saw the Banshee, and when I looked back, you were gone. I thought... I thought she might have come for you.
Declan's eyebrows pulled together in irritation.
No, but would you do us a favour?